Okay, continue where we left off yesterday. Yesterday we were learning about Hagala and Libun. We discussed the differences. Hagala, the purging process, takes everything out. The burning Libun process, the blowtorch process, or the direct fire process, actually burns out what there is. And we said the difference is, in practical halacha, that when you do a Hagala, you want to make a blemish taste that's coming out, so you don't, usually the minig is you don't do Hagala unless if there's 24 hours in between the last usage and the time you're going to be kashering it. Last usage of hat and the time you're going to be kashering it. Libun, according to halacha, you're allowed to do the blowtorch process or self-cleaning oven process, whatever, you're allowed to do as soon as you finish it. You don't need to wait 24 hours. Okay? Now there's a few more dinim I want to mention, and then we go on into some practical things. This whole din that we discussed, by the way, of 24 hours, that it blemishes the taste, that doesn't apply to certain things. For instance, an onion, a lemon, garlic, those sharp foods. The din is, if I take a fleishik knife, that wasn't used for 24 hours, but it's fleishik, but it wasn't used for 24 hours. And I cut an onion, a lemon, garlic, or something sharp. It revives the taste and makes it unblemished and makes from blemished unblemished. That means, bottom line, if I didn't use a knife for 2 weeks, and now it's a fleishik knife, and I cut an onion with the knife, the onion becomes sleishik. And therefore I can't eat the onion with milchiks, with dairy. Okay? And the onion has to be treated as a fleishika onion. Even though, if I cut something else with a fleishik knife that's cold or even hot, but it wasn't used for 24 hours, if it's not sharp, the food doesn't become fleishik. Because it's after 24 hours, like we learned yesterday. Okay, so now let's discuss what's the process of actually kashering with Hagala. Okay, what do you do if you want to kasher cutlery, you want to kasher a kiddush cup? So there's a few dinim before we even get into that actual practical way of Hagala. Anything which is not cleanable is not Hagala-able. Okay, if you can't clean it, you can't do Hagala. Therefore, very intricate things, for instance, a strainer, a sieve, things that have a lot of holes and a lot of those things, Allah says you can't kasher them with Hagala. Why? Because we're not 100% sure that you can clean it 100% because it's too intricate. Or sometimes they even write, sometimes if you have a pot, or even a kiddush cup for that matter, if it's really fleishik, that has a very tight lip. There's a lip around it, but it's very tight that you can't clean out underneath the lip. So halacha says then you can't do Hagala. Because again, Hagala only works to remove what's absorbed within the vessel. It doesn't remove anything substantial. So therefore, something which is not cleanable, because there might be something of substance there, it might be something substantial there, so then Hagala is not going to work. Libun will work, because leaving the blowtorch, so to speak, is going to burn it out anyway. Even if it's something substantial, obviously you have to clean it first. But if there's something substantial and you're putting it with direct fire, it's going to clean it out. So things that are not 100% cleanable are not kasherable with Hagala, especially not for Pesach. Because remember we discussed at the beginning, Pesach's kashering is stricter than year-round kashering. Because year-round, it becomes nullified 1 in 60. Whether it's milchiks and fleishiks or treif and kosher becomes a bottle b'shishim, it's nullified 1 in 60. Pesach and Pesach itself, it's never nullified. So therefore, for instance, you can't kasher knives, especially not for Pesach, that have a handle it's made out of two pieces. A lot of knives, you have metal knife with a wooden handle or plastic handle. So number one, you can't kasher that for Pesach. Why not? Because it's possible that there's some dirt or chametz or treif or whatever it is in between the blade and the handle. Because the blade covers the handle, but there's still air there, and therefore a crumb can get in there, and that crumb could be chametz dik. So therefore you can't, even a whole year is questionable, but especially Pesach, to kasher a two-piece knife, a two-piece cutlery set, is not kasherable, because again, you can't clean it out 100% to make sure it's 100% clean, and therefore you can't kasher it. Or again, anything that's two pieces connected, it's questionable if you can kasher it, because, well, not, for basically you can't kasher it. Yes, sir.
Can you clean it by your hand before you lay the golah?
Before you do hagolah, you have to clean it. You can't do hagolah on a dirty...
By hand.
Yeah, but I'm saying that certain times it's impossible to clean out by hand. Because between the blade and the handle, it's closed. It's impossible to clean it out. There's always things in there that you're not going to be able to clean out, like a strainer, a sieve, or things like that. You can't clean up. That's number one. Number two, 1 second. Number two, like we learned the other day, we spoke about it a greater length, but now in the practical sense, there are certain materials you can't kasher. Materials that absorb and don't spit out, like we said before, the Gemara says, Klecheres, and Yetzim Yidafin La'ilam, it never spits it out completely. Earthenware vessels, it never spits it out completely. Because it never spits it out completely, you can't kasher it. Because when you kasher it, then you're going to use it on Pesach, a little more is going to come out. And that's going to be chametz, and it's chametz on Pesach, which is an issue. Now, there's a very interesting machlekes, and this is a big Sephardic Ashkenazic difference, about glass. Glass in halacha has two opposite extremes. One opinion halacha, which is the Beis Yosef, based on the Sephardish Poskim earlier, glass, according to them, doesn't absorb. It just doesn't absorb. So if it doesn't absorb, it never became chametz stick, it never became treif, it never became anything. So by according, even though many Sephardim today don't do this, but there are Sephardim still that don't kasher glass for Pesach. They use it, the same glasses they use year round, they use on Pesach. Why? Sometimes they make agolah, but according to the din of Shechunar, you don't even have to do agolah. It never absorbs. If it never absorbs, then it never became chametz stick. If it never became chametz stick. The second opinion, which is the Ashkenazic opinion, the Ramah and later poskim of Ashkenazic, and this is the minig by Ashkenazim, glass absorbs and can never be kashered. Mamish two opposites. One is glass never becomes treif or chametz stick. And the other opinion says it does become chametzik or tray for milchik or whatever, and you can't kasher it. So therefore, in the Ashkenazi community, you don't kasher glass. That's it. Glass you use a whole year, you cannot use for Pesach.
Who give the right to the Ashkenazim lahatiril?
No, the Sfardim were matir. Hello? No. The Sfardim were matir. The Ashkenazim were machmir. So who gave the Sfardim the right, yeah?
The Torah.
Eifo Kotuv there.
Eifo Kotuv?
Yeah.
Bishulchan Aruch.
Eifo.
Eifo? I don't have Bishulchan Aruch with me.
Yeah, okay.
But you said, Anachnu Ashkenazim, Mutar Lanu.
Lanu? No, Asur.
Asur Lanu. Oh, the same thing.
When you say...
if you say
let me just explain something. Allowed and forbidden is not the same thing.
The same thing, because you are allowed, you are not allowed. The same thing.
No. So what do you...
Matter. If we said Asur, that cannot say Mutar.
Can.
If you said Mutar, it says, we're eating rice. Why don't you eat rice?
Okay, we didn't get into that yet. We'll get into kidneys, but not now. Okay. No, they eat rice.
They eat everything, even popcorn.
Shh. Why isn't this standing? Okay. So this is a shot if you have to kasher your glass. No, what's interesting, just to get away from Pesach a second... There's another machlekes. If this machlekes applies only to Pesach or year round too, that means there are certain poskim and halacha that say this argument between the Sfardim and Ashkenazim, between the Beis Yosef and the Ramah, if you can kasher glass or not, or you don't need to kasher glass, is only by Pesach. There are many poskim that say year round, everybody says you could use the same. Lepel, we don't baskin like that. We don't use, but there are many Ashkenazic poskim that say that, year round you could use the same glass for milchiks and fleishiks. By the way, just for the record, therefore sometimes you'll come to a function in a hotel And the caterer will use glass plates for the first course. For the salad. I'm not saying you're not allowed to, you're not allowed to. A lot of times those are the dishes from the hotel, but the kosher organization lets them use it, even though they're not kosher dishes, but because number one, the salad is cold, and there's glass, and the, but the problem is, our meaning is we don't kosher glass all year. Okay, but certain materials, and again, I'm gonna emphasize, because Pesach is stricter, for instance, most opinions today hold that lemoshul plastic, you don't kasher for Pesach. But many poskim hold year-round, you could kasher plastic. There are poskim that say you can contemporary. Obviously, they didn't have it in Tam Shechner, didn't have plastic. But there are poskim today that say you can kasher plastic year-round. There, generally speaking, for Pesach, most poskim of contemporary halacha say you can't kasher plastic. Or any synthetic materials. What?
You can or you can't?
Cannot. For Pesach, I'm saying.
Yeah.
For Pesach. Year round, many times they make it to kasher plastic. It depends also how it became trade for what the story is. Okay, let's discuss for a few minutes how you do Haggalah. Okay, so let's say I need to kasher this. Okay, this is plastic, so forget it. But let's say it's metal. Okay? I need to kasher, it's a chometz kapat. I need to kasher it for Pesach with Haggalah. Now, later we'll learn that anytime you could do a Haggalah, you could do Libun, cow. Not the real strict Libun. We'll get to Libun cow when we get there. So let's say this is a metal pot or bowl, whatever. I need to kasher it for Pesach. So because it's metal, one piece metal, it's very easy to kasher for Pesach. Opidin. So number one, it has to be spotlessly clean. Secondly, I can't use it for 24 hours for hot. Okay, for hot, it cannot be used for 24 hours. Because I want to make sure the taste inside of it is a blemished taste. So how do I kasher this? So the best thing to do is to take a bigger pot. I mean, this is not practical, but a pot that's really big. Okay? And to use this pot to kosher this pot. Because I'm going to be able to put this pot in, submerge it into the pot used for kashering. Now the question is, what pot do I use for kashering? Do I use a chametz dikah pot, or do I use a Pesach dikah pot? Okay, so halacha says like this. If I want to use, let's say, a chametz dikah pot to kosher my Pesach dikah kelim, okay? But this is chametz dikah. So how can I use it to kasher Pesach? So first of all, the pot has to be 100% clean. Secondly, I can't use it for 24 hours. Okay? Then, poskim right, I should first kasher this pot. Now, how do I kasher this pot? I don't have anything bigger to put it into. Or, I want to kasher this pot. How do I kasher it for Pesach? Okay? I want to kasher this pot. So what you need to do is, you need to fill it up to the top with water. And bring it to what's called in English a bubbling boil. In halacha it's called mala bebois, meaning it's not the little bubbles. It's mamish, rapid boil as it's called, or whatever. Rapid boil, it's mamish bubbling. But that only kashers the inside of the pot. How do I kasher the outside of the pot? The hot water is not getting there. So halacha says like this, according to certain opinions. Taz says you don't have to, but most poskim say you have to. What you do is, you take a hot rock, okay, not a pebble, you heat up a rock, and you put it into the water, and that forces the water to go overflowing. You're going to get your stove wet, but it overflows, and then it makes the whole outside kosher. So that kashers this pot by itself, by the way. Now, or what happens if I want to use this pot to kasher this pot? So now that this pot to kosher the Pesach, right? So then I take this pot. I empty out the water. Okay, this is what Halacha says. You empty out the water. You rinse it off in cold water like we learned yesterday, Minig Yisrael Teri, to do it, even though Halacha says you really wouldn't have to. And then I fill it up, let's say, 3/4 of the way with water. Bring it again to a bubbling boil, a rapid boil. And then I could put in the cutlery, the Kiddush cup, a smaller pot, in a way that the whole thing gets in the water, but you have to make sure halacha says like this. Sometimes when you put in the pot, the water stops bubbling. Because it's cold. The water stops bubbling. So you have to wait until the water bubbles again. To kasher this pot that you want to kasher. So after it comes to a bubbling boil, you leave it in for about 10-15 seconds. Then you take it out and you rinse it under cold water. One last din, and I'm only starting it because we're going to have to continue tomorrow. What happens if this pot is not big enough that the whole pot can go in at one time. So unlike tevling dishes, when you immerse dishes in the mikveh, the whole dish must be immersed completely at the same time. You can't do half at a time. Halacha says koshering, you can do half at a time. And we're going to discuss tomorrow. It's not so simple. You put in half, and then you kasher it, you rinse it off in cold water, then put in the second half, and you live happily ever after. And to be